2026, the year of growth.
We learn from the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 and Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 that it is in the heart and mind of God for every person who believes and obeys to multiply and become more. Therefore, get ready for 2026, the year of growth, where in every season they must be fruit, according to Revelation chapter 22 verse 2. The first place we need to grow is in our spiritual life. Spiritual growth is the function of obedience to the Spirit of God. This means the Holy Spirit is the only means of growth in our Christian life. The way of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit is a way of blessings indeed. How can we grow if we don't know His ways? The University of the Holy Spirit is the high school of learning whereby spiritual truths are discerned and imbibed. It is time to learn the ways of the Spirit and be fully prepared for the blessings to come. Are you ready? The best is yet to come, indeed.
2026, the year of growth.
Welcome to the Arena of Faith. We are in the presence of God today. Thank you for watching. Thank you for your time. We are here to plant a seed. Whatever we will become tomorrow is as a result of the seed planted. We all know the farmer, that's a type of the life of faith. He plants a seed on the ground because he believes in the law of nature. He prepares the ground. He plants a seed in seed time. And the farmer has absolute trust in the process of nature that in due season, what he has planted will yield a harvest. And he never doubts one second that what he has planted will yield fruit one day. That's the trust of a farmer. That's what the life of faith is all about. As we all know, when he plants the seed, he will not go and dig it out to see whether it is growing or not. He will destroy the root. He plants it. After he has done his work, he has trust in the process of nature. That's why the scripture says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I planted, Apollo watered, but God gives the increase. Our duty is to plant the seed and to water it. But the spiritual growth, we need God. The clip you have watched today saw the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus, the coming of the Holy Spirit. What's the purpose of the Spirit of God in our lives? One of the greatest promises the Bible gives us is eternal life and the kingdom of God. That's the foundation of our faith. This is the heart of God. This is the heart of Jesus. This is what belief is all about. Not on material things, but believing God for everlasting life, for salvation of our souls. And that's why Jesus started by saying in that book of Luke chapter 4 verse 17, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. God's promise is salvation, eternal life. How will that salvation be manifested? How will it become a reality? It's the gift from God. Righteousness is a gift from God. How did the gift come? Because Jesus came and planted a seed. God planted the seed of his word. He planted his seed of his son on the earth. Jesus came and said in John chapter 12 verse 24 that unless the seed dies, he will never bear fruit. He gave himself up for all of us at the cross where he died for us. When the scripture says on the third day, he rose from the dead. That's why the scriptures call him the firstborn among the dead. So if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus, that's the fundamental tenets of the Christian faith. We believe that he's alive. Therefore, we believe in the resurrection. If we don't believe in the life after life, so what's the purpose of praying today? Jesus is the firstborn among the creation, as the scripture says in the book of Colossians chapter 1, from verse 15 to 20. And he is the firstborn among the dead. In everything, Jesus has the supremacy. Everything. Alpha and Omega. Now, as Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we believe because Jesus is alive. Before he went, he left this earth to go back to the Father, he made a promise, not just to the apostles of old, but to every believer. Faith in Christ came to fulfill the law, the scriptures, and the prophecies right from the book of Genesis. And he came to remove the wall of hostility, the barrier between mankind and God. That's the purpose of Jesus coming on earth. To reconcile man to God. To remove the barrier of hostility between humankind and God. By the free gift of his life. By the free gift of eternal life for those who believe and those who want that life. We are talking about spiritual growth. We are talking about the ways of the Spirit. How we can grow in the Spirit. How we can grow in righteousness. What is righteousness? A gift from God. We have self-righteousness and we have the gift of righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have our own act of righteousness and we have the one of God. The question is, we have two standards. Human being standards and God's standard. God's standard of righteousness is not self-centered. Our own righteousness depends on a lot of things. Our culture, our tradition, our human perception, what we like, what we don't like, what we accept, what we don't accept, and we express it. But the righteousness that comes from God speaks differently. It is grace, mercy, and favor. We are not righteous before God. Christ came to make us right before God, right standing before God. That's why Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. God's standard of righteousness is a gift. What is it? Means to be able to think right, to speak right, to act right, and to do what is right in the sight of God, not in the sight of man. What can be right in my human perception may not be right in God's perception way of seeing things. Jesus came to give a standard from eternity's perspective. The truth from eternity's perspective. God's ways. That's why he went to the cross. The way of the cross is foolishness for human understanding. But that was a way chosen by God to bring life by his resurrection from the dead. And promised to raise from the dead everybody who believes in him. Because Jesus has risen, therefore we believe in life after life. The scripture says he rose from the dead and appeared to the disciples of old, who all bore witness to his resurrection. That's the scripture we read and we believe. That's the testimony of Peter. He said, we heard the testimony of the Father when they were in the holy mountain, when he heard, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We heard the testimony of John, the testimony of the apostle, even the testimony of Saul, who didn't believe the way and fought the way. Later, had a revelation of Jesus and begin to bear witness to his resurrection to all believers. Now, what is the purpose? Righteousness means we are grafted in God. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, believing what the Bible says about Jesus, when we meet the condition given for salvation's sake, which is faith, believing his resurrection from the dead, believing life after life through Christ Jesus. When we confess him as our Lord and Savior, believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead, Romans chapter 10, verse 6 to 10, God gave us the gift of righteousness, freely. We are not righteous. God made us right before him through the blood of Jesus, the atoning sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. This means no matter the sin we must have committed, God is greater than our hearts. God is able to forgive them all, to everybody who believes and come to him in humility. God promised to forgive and to give us a new life and to give us the free gift of eternal life. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, God made him, he who knew no sin, so that in him we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We need to understand, this is my human body. We are all weak. We have natural body. It is weak. Submit to sin. But God said, in him, we receive the gift of God in spirit. When the Spirit of God come and dwell in his earthen vessel. Earthen vessel. Why God will do that? Why what is perfect come and dwell in the imperfect? Why the incorruptible dwells in the corruptible? For the glory to be ascribed to God himself. That's the wisdom of God. The vessel is weak, but the grace is from heaven. That's the purpose. He promised them, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. That's the promise. He who believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from his heart to eternal life. The apostles followed Jesus and believed. When he went to the cross, their faith was put really into serious doubt, challenges. They walked with him for 3 years. They witnessed miracles because they wrote in the Synoptic Testament, Paul wrote about it. Peter wrote about it. Matthew, Luke, they all wrote their journey with Jesus and the word they received from him and shared it with us today in the gospel. But I ask myself, they were witness of many resurrections Jesus did in the Bible. Luke chapter 7, the widow of Nain, the daughter of Jairus. We saw what Jesus did in John 11 when he raised Lazarus from the dead, who was buried for 3 days in the tomb by the Bible standard. And they saw it, all of them. Peter saw it. James saw it. They were there with him. I asked myself, but why when Jesus rose from the dead that first day, and they went to the tomb and find it empty, and Jesus appeared to send to the women and sent the women to tell them, they didn't believe. Why they find it hard to believe after they witnessed resurrection so many times? Why they couldn't believe in the one who raised the dead? That's the great question we ask ourselves. Jesus said to them in John chapter 16, verse 12, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot understand them now. You cannot receive them now, bear them now. But when the Holy Spirit will come from heaven, he will guide you into all truth, and he will bear witness of me. So they waited, believing and trusting, praying, seeking his face, until the day the promise came from heaven in the book of Acts chapter 2, and their life was radically transformed. Now, why God gives his spirit to those who believe in his son Jesus? John chapter 1 verse 12 says, to those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who believe in the finished work of Christ, his redemptive work and his resurrection and the gift of eternal life by faith in him, God gave them his spirit. God gave them the grace, the power to become sons and daughters of God. People are born not of flesh, not of blood, not of the will of man, but born of God, born of the Spirit. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 8, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We can understand that this is the heart of the gospel, being born again, being saved, being children of the Most High God, and having a relationship with God by receiving the spirit of sonship, the spirit of adoption. That's the promise of the Bible. That's the promise of the gospel of Jesus of Nazareth. A sense of fatherhood brings a new type of relationship in spirit and in truth. We don't approach God from far. Now we are nigh, we are near by the blood of Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 2:18 says, we have boldness through Christ to come to God by the Spirit of God. That's the promise of this Bible. That's the foundation of belief. I mean, our faith should be in God. Our faith should be on God's provision for eternal life. Our faith should be in the power of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in Christ Jesus, the provision of Jesus at the cross of Calvary, through his blood redemption and the gift of eternal life by believing in his name and his power to make it happen in God's ability. That's what we're going to talk about today. Last time, God's sufficiency. Today, we talk about God's ability, God's power to bring the promises to pass in our lives. That's why in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord said, after appearing to his disciples, by the records of Luke, written in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Only then you become my witnesses. Here, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the end of the earth. That was the promise of Jesus. They believed and they waited till the day of Pentecost and the promise was fulfilled. Faith is expecting God to do what he promised. Now, what's the purpose of the Holy Ghost in the lives of people, in the lives of believers? We're going to talk about just the empowerment to give us supernatural ability to say what we cannot say ourselves, to do what we cannot do ourselves. What does it mean? Divine enablement to relate with God in spirit and in truth, and the divine righteousness of capacity of God to behave as Jesus would have behaved. That's righteousness. Number one, empowerment, and number two, holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 2, call it the sanctification of the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talk about the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost to enable us to walk by faith and to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, being disciple of Christ, by the application of our word, being in the Spirit, led by the Spirit. That's what the gospel is all about. Today, on the day of Pentecost, something happened. We saw a radical transformation in the life of the apostles. We talk about Peter, a good example. The first person who spoke after the gift of God was Peter. What boldness, what assurance we saw in his words. The first message he preached, the scripture said 3,000 people came to believe. Their heart were cut by the word of life. Peter never spoke like that before, never. Peter never did that before. We knew that he was battling with fear. Then persecution came. He denied Jesus 3 times. But at Pentecost, when divine enablement came, he stood his ground fearlessly. So today we start by first part. Holy Ghost comes into our life. He dwells in us to help us develop a godly character. He helps us give us strength to speak right, to behave right, and to act right, and to follow the ways of God through his grace. We call the fruit of the Spirit. And he gave power, empower us to testify to others of the goodness of God through the ministry of reconciliation and Christian services. Now, let's go to our proof text in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is the foundation of God's ability to those who believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 3. Therefore, I made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I repeat, no one can say by the Spirit that Jesus calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. This is what righteousness is all about. I mean, no one can know who Jesus is, can believe in him truly, confess him truly, without the work of the Holy Spirit. If we call that name, we should call that name in righteousness, led by the Spirit of God. Paul continues saying, Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. This means the Spirit has gifts to give to human beings. Those gifts are called power, supernatural powers, supernatural ability. Verse 5. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. What does this mean? We have Christian services, which we call the articles of Christian faith. Prayer, fasting, works of charity, helping others, ministering to the poor, ministering to the weak. Those gifts of Romans chapter 12, verse 5, the gift of the Father. Every believer should manifest the fruit of the Spirit and have a loving heart toward those in need. And God will give him supernatural ability for that. This means we can do all sorts of works of service from our heart, led by the Holy Spirit. Whatever we do for God's sake must come from our heart, from our spirit, under the inspiration and expression of the Spirit of God. When it comes to your heart, His compassion can lead you to help those in need, to help the poor, to pray for others. All those ministries require the enablement of the Spirit of God to be done in spirit and in truth. We can do a lot of things for selfish reason, for reason known to us. But what is done for God's sake is done for God's sake. You don't expect any reward from man. You do what is good for God's sake, expecting no reward from people. Whether they say yes or no, whether they say thank you or not, you do it for God's sake without expecting any reward. The reward comes from God. For any gift, any service to be acceptable by God, it must be done in spirit and in truth for God's sake, led by the inspiration of your heart. Not because they ask you to do it, not because they force you to do it. Faith is never by force. When you force people to do something, it's not faith. It must come spontaneously from the heart, from the free will of the person to be of faith. Accepting Jesus is a decision of a person, your personal decision. Nobody can reason you to accept Jesus. No one can force you to accept Jesus. That acceptance will never resist the test of time. You must have your own understanding, your own conviction to accept Jesus. It's a matter of your conscience. Faith is from the heart, from your decision, based on the illumination of the Spirit. Now, I continue reading. Verse 6. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. This is what we call the manifestation of the Spirit. These are the supernatural power that God gives to human beings. We said at the introduction of this message that God is in heaven and we are here on earth. What is the link between heaven and earth? Righteousness. Right standing before God. When we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, He will remove the barrier between our heart and the heart of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, whenever a person turns his heart towards the Lord, accept Jesus and surrender your heart to God, the veil is removed. The barrier is removed. And the wall of hostility be removed. And that acceptance brings the presence of God in our heart. We become one with God through the seal of the Holy Spirit. There's no more barrier. God comes and dwells in our heart. We become the temple of God, the dwelling place of God in spirit, united with God in the unity of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, when the Holy Ghost comes into our life, He will help us to develop godly character. Number one, Jesus said, love your enemy. The flesh can never do such so. Pray for those who persecute you. Just read Matthew chapter 5. What a challenging message. Flesh cannot do that. Our self-centeredness and self-righteousness can never do that. And that's what Jesus commands to do. To do that, it required the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to do that. Without the strength, the power of the Holy Ghost, it will be difficult for you to pray for those who persecute you. those who insult you, those who fault you, those who harm you, they are not your enemy. Pray for them, says the Lord. That's the commandment of Jesus. And that's where we miss the mark. That's where we fail to do what is right in the sight of God. That's why nobody's righteous. Don't do this, okay? We don't kill, we don't steal. But do you love your enemy? Do you pray for those who persecute you? Do you pray for your adversary? Do you forgive them? Do you pray for them? Not against them, pray for them. That's the commandment of God. It is impossible to the flesh. It can only be possible by the spirit of righteousness. That's what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. Those who accused him and took him to the cross and crucified, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The Pharisees knew what they were doing. They plotted against him. They want to get rid of him. And they sent him to the cross. But Jesus said, they don't know what they are doing. Why? Jesus said, they don't know whom I am. And that's the key. Because they don't know who Jesus is, they judge him on the outside by human knowledge, human understanding. That's why the scripture I just read, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. No one can say Jesus is a curse if you are led by the Holy Ghost. No one can deny and reject Jesus if you are led by the Holy Spirit. When you are led by the Holy Ghost, you are led by revelation. Saul said Jesus be a curse. He rejected Jesus, rejected the way, and persecuted the church toughly. But in Acts chapter 9, he had a revelation of Jesus. And the scale was removed. The veil was removed. And he discovered he was ignorant. That's why the forgiveness of the cross was applied to him. He didn't know what he was doing. When Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? So who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you persecute. Acts chapter 9, he went to Ananias. Ananias, pray for him. He recognized that Jesus is Lord. And he accepted Jesus and received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 23 explained even more clearly. Ananias said to him, repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And called the name of the Lord. He was able to know that Jesus is Lord. Led by the Holy Ghost, he called the name of the Lord. He forsook his way, embraced a new way, and became a child of God. His past was over. He received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And righteousness came. Immediately, the wolf became a lamb. Immediately, he began to testify about Jesus. It was a shock to everybody. That's the transformation that the Spirit of God brings to our lives when we accept Jesus as our righteousness. God never consults our past to determine our future. Never. The future is in the hand of Jesus. The future we are talking about is not tomorrow here. The future we are talking about is eternal life. Time will come that every person on earth will leave this earth. That's the only thing that is sure. There is no eternal life here on earth. We are all pregnant. We have beginning, we have end. One day, this body will go back to the dust. That's what the Bible says. But the real you in you, your spirit, your soul, will return to God. And that's where the truth will come. That's when the reality will come. That's where the fullness of God will be revealed. And it is too late to come back. So, what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? To help us to live right, to think differently, to speak differently, to act differently, and to embrace the ways of the Spirit, the ways of God, which is difficult to the flesh to follow. It is contrary to our own will. We must do the will of God. Now, I want to talk about this empowerment of the Holy Ghost. I will read for you 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What are these gifts? Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Take note of this. Means all those gifts are for the profit, for the benefit of human beings. It is not against human being. It is for human being. It's a blessing of life. Verse 8. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Verse 9. To another, faith through the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Verse 10. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, different kinds of tongues and languages. To another, the interpretation of tongues. These are the main 9 gifts, powers of the Holy Ghost to empower the believers, to empower the church for the benefits of human beings. That's why when you read the Bible, Jesus never sent anyone without the power of the Holy Spirit, this divine enablement, to preach the good news for the benefits of human beings. When Jesus sent them in the book of Luke chapter 9, they went to preach forgiveness of God, the free gift of life for those who believe, accept it. They say, pray for the sick, deliver the captive. And that's what we're doing. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, Jesus was praying, healing the people, casting out demons every single day of his life. And he gave the same authority and power to his disciples. Now, let me explain these supernatural powers that came on the day of Pentecost. So many of us believe, some believe that these powers are only historical. It was only at the day of Pentecost, was only valid in the time of Jesus for the apostles of old. Some people believe that. Some people believe this power is today. There's no way in the gospel where it is said it is history. Peter said the promise is for you, to everybody who believes, to all generations. If Jesus was speaking only to the apostles, why they wrote this to us? Jesus said, whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from his innermost being. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Whoever believes in me will never die, has everlasting life. It's for all, every human being, everyone who believes. Everyone, irrespective of your origin, irrespective of your gender, where you come from, is for human beings. That's the promise, for everyone who believes. That's the key. We have discretion to believe or not to believe. That's one choice. But to everyone who believes, the grace is given to him. Meaning, God is waiting for everyone at the point of belief and conviction to release the free gift of life, the free gift of the Spirit, not our works, but by pure grace of the living God. Now, what do we mean by word of wisdom? We have word of wisdom. We have word of knowledge. I'm going to talk about these two gifts. To one is given the word of wisdom. To another given the word of knowledge. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36, if you abide in my words, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Pharisees, the doctors of the law, said to him, free from what? We have never been slave to anyone. How can you say, set us free? And Jesus answered, whoever commits sin is slave to sin, but whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. That's what he said. The knowledge the Bible is talking about is a knowledge revealed by the Spirit. Word of knowledge. That's why the verse 3 said, no one can say Jesus is Lord unless it's guided by the Holy Ghost. Means it demands revelation. This knowledge we are talking about is not intellectual knowledge, it's the revelation knowledge. So led by his intellectual religious knowledge, rejected this way because he never understood that ways and rejected Jesus. But the same soul said in the book of Galatians chapter 1 that he received the gospel not from man or by man, by a revelation of Jesus Christ. We call revelation knowledge. This knowledge is something that comes not by human thinking, but from heaven. When the Holy Ghost comes, he will bring revelation, a kind of knowledge that is new. We call it an inwardly received truth, revelation perceived in the Spirit, in your heart. It can be by vision, it can be by the word of God, in your heart. We call it revelation. The reality of something we never knew before. Saul knew about Jesus in the natural, but he never knew who Jesus Christ was in the Spirit. When revelation came, he called him Lord in the book of Acts chapter 9. This knowledge we are talking about, that's why we need the Holy Ghost to enter into the reality of what we call true knowledge, the right knowledge of God that gives you peace. The Pharisees and Sadducees, go and read John chapter 5. Jesus said to them, you search the scriptures because you think you have life. Why can't you come to me and have life? What does this mean? Why can't you come to me and your eyes be open and you will see the eternal life hidden in the word of God? Don't take it to the natural. It is a spiritual word. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood. Natural word, parable, but the reality means the word is spirit and life. Let me give an example of this word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. I will take you to the book of Daniel chapter 2. I will read with you. God wanted to reveal something to the king Nebuchadnezzar, which was the greatest king, the greatest kingdom at that time. But God had a plan in his mind, in his heart, that God wanted to reveal to humanity. The plan of God, the heart of God, the mind of God to human being is concealed in the heart of God. It demands revelation to know it. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35, he said, I will raise for myself a high priest who will do what is in my heart and in my mind. What is in the heart of God? What is in the mind of God? It takes revelation to know what is in the heart of God. So I'm going to read Daniel chapter 2. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Verse 2. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. This means we can have a revelation, something we know, we think we know. But do we really know it? Do we really understand it? There is something to have a revelation. There is something to have understanding of it. True knowledge comes at the point of understanding. To be understood is to understand. To understand is true knowledge. We have been to school, all of us. What we never understood can never dwell in our heart. We have forgotten it. But what we understood and assimilate is with us forever. So he had a revelation, but he couldn't understand it. There was a revelation from God. There's a knowledge from God. But the king was disturbed because it was a spiritual message that intellectually we cannot perceive it. This means spiritual truth cannot be intellectually understood and perceived. There must be spiritually discerned, understood, and operated. I repeat, spiritual things that comes from God cannot be intellectually known. They need to be discerned, understood, and operated spiritually. Colossians chapter 1, verse 8, 9. So, the king couldn't understand. So what he did? He called his people. They came and asked and tell them this. The king answered and said to them, to the Chaldean, my decision is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream to me and its interpretation, you will be cut off in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. Verse 7. They answered again and said, let the king tell the servant the dream, and we will give its interpretation. They are saying to the king, tell us the dream and we will tell you the meaning. Many people can interpret the Bible. But the question is, did you receive the revelation yourself? Do you understand it so you can explain to others? Do you understand the meaning? Did you have the revelation? You must have your own revelation. You must understand to know that you are convinced, you know the truth, and you can explain it, you can understand it. No one can believe, No one can accept what he doesn't understand. They said to him, tell us the dream, and we'll give you the interpretation. Then the king said, very interesting. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. Verse 9, and key verse. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. And the king said, let me go down. He said, therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. Tell me the dream. If you are able to tell me the dream, then I will trust your interpretation. How can you explain what you do not know? So means knowledge must come first, understanding must come first, and wisdom can follow. Tell me my dream, so I will trust the interpretation of the dream. That's what the king said to them. Listen to the answer. Verse 10. The children answered the king, there is no man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such thing of any magician, of any astrologer, of any Chaldeans. They are saying, what you're asking is impossible to know to us. Verse 11. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no one who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men. What he said is that knowledge can only come by revelation from God from above. That's what we call revelation knowledge. No one can know who God is, who Jesus is, in spirit and in truth, without revelation from the Holy Spirit. It takes revelation to enter into real faith. We have knowledge and revelation knowledge that comes when our conscious, when our heart is illumined by what the Bible calls the spirit of revelation, Ephesians 1:17. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It will help us to see beyond the veil, beyond facts, the truth that comes from heaven. Then that revelation can come through dreams, through visions. And that's what God gave to the king. But the king was, he saw the revelation, but he didn't know what it meant. If I don't know the mean, how will I obey it? How will I apply it in my life? So he was in darkness. Now, there was a man called Daniel. When Daniel heard that the king threatened to destroy all the magicians, whatever, because they couldn't understand or explain the dream, Daniel came. Let's go to verse 16. So Daniel went and asked the king to give him time that he may tell the king the interpretation. Why Daniel asked time? Daniel went to the source that it is God only that can reveal this to him. So he must have the same revelation the king has in order to know what the matter is all about. What did he do? Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananias, Mikhail, and Azariah, his companion. Verse 18. That they may seek mercies from God of heaven concerning this secret, this mystery. Everything about God is called a mystery. It's beyond human understanding. It demands revelation to perceive the mysteries, the hidden truth, so that Daniel and his companion might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. God revealed to Daniel that truth in a night vision. That knowledge is revelation knowledge. It's revelation of what is hidden in the heart and the mind of God. That's the revelation of the plan and the purpose of God. There is a plan of God. There is a purpose of God beyond our situation that known to God alone, which requires revelation to understand that purpose. Jesus came to fulfill a purpose which was not a natural purpose. That purpose was divine. In the kingdom of God, salvation and eternal life beyond the blessings of the earth. Now, Daniel prayed, and the Bible says that God revealed the secret to Daniel. Let's go further. In verse 25, then Ariel quickly brought Daniel before the king and said, I have found a man in the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation? The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayer cannot declare that to the king. The devil can never tell you what is in the heart of God. He can tell you what is in your own heart. Darkness cannot access to the light. It takes spiritual revelation, the light of revelation, to know what is in the heart of God. Verse 28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. God is revealing to the king what will happen in generations to come. There is a plan of God in every circumstance being our life, which is the plan of God for nations, for generations to come. That message can only come from the throne of heaven. Daniel said, your dream and your vision in your bed, upon your bed, were like this. You can read at home. He explained to the king, you saw a statue standing before you. The head was of gold. Then the chest, silver. The belly and the thigh was of iron. And he saw the legs, iron and clay. Then you have a revelation. That's the word of knowledge. A knowledge from heaven that revealed to him the secret in the heart of God. But now, the question is, you can hear a word from God, but do we understand it? It takes understanding to interpret something. If somebody speaks a language I don't know, I'm not able to understand it. I speak French, this person speaks German. How can we relate? It's impossible. It takes an interpreter who understands both languages. And that's the work of Holy Spirit. When the Holy Ghost comes, he understands the language of all men. Remember, at the Tower of Babel, God scatters the language of human beings and gives them diversity of languages. But the Spirit of God understands the heart of God and the mind of God. So he was able to reveal the dream to Daniel and gave the meaning of the dream, the interpretation of the dream. That's where the wisdom comes from. Means between revelation and now understanding, there is a gap. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 says, the natural mind cannot understand the things of the Spirit. It takes spiritual understanding by the power of the Holy Ghost to understand these things. That's why Jesus opened the hearts of the disciples in Luke chapter 24, 45, to have spiritual understanding of the message of the Bible, the divine meaning of the purpose why Christ came on earth, the purpose why he went to the cross, the purpose why he died for us, the purpose why he shed his blood, the purpose why he rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and the purpose why we receive Holy Spirit. Our eyes must be illumined by the spirit of understanding for faith to be real, to stand on the ground of understanding so we can have conviction to believe the message for ourselves and apply it rightfully. Daniel was able to have a revelation where the knowledge came. He was able to have the interpretation, the understanding, and the wisdom to explain the meaning of the dream to the king. He was able to tell him the meaning of the gold, the meaning of the silver, the meaning of the iron, the meaning of the legs of iron and the feet of clay. That telling the first one is you. It refers to your kingdom. After you, another kingdom will come. After another kingdom, he explained what is going to happen in the generations to come. And then Daniel saw to him, tell him, you saw a rock that came from a mountain. The rock came and hit the statue. And the gold, the silver, the iron, the clay, everything was turned to pieces. And the wind came and blew them all. And then nobody see any trace of it. But the rock that came down filled the whole earth. What's the meaning of that? There's a divine meaning of that. It means the rock that came from heaven, the same rock Jesus mentioned, upon this rock I will build my kingdom. That's the rock of the living word of God. That's the rock of Christ, the rock that comes from heaven to establish the kingdom of God that will live forever. And Daniel understood that and said in verse 24, we say, in the days of this king, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, The God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all this kingdom and will stand forever. Verse 45. As much as you saw that the stone was cut off on the mountain without hands, and it broke to pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, its interpretation is real. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 21, 42, 44, I'm the living stone. He who bump into it will be crushed. He may fall, will be crushed again. He talked about the rock of the kingdom of God. It's the hidden message. Daniel has the wisdom to be able to communicate the knowledge he received in language that the king could understand. That's the interpretation of it. You can have knowledge, but you need wisdom. Wisdom is deeper. When you have wisdom, you understand it, and you will interpret it. You will say it to people in the way that anybody can understand. The word of God, revelation, settles in our heart at the point of spiritual understanding. Understanding is the number one gift of faith. Faith can never settle if you do not understand. Our frame of mind will never accept something we don't understand. That's why we need to examine everything in the light of God's word till we have understanding of it. And then faith becomes real. Faith is not human persuasion. It's not intellectual reasoning. It takes revelation. When the heart is open to perceive the revelation of God's mind and spiritual understanding from the Spirit of God. And then we can believe it and act faith on it. Saul refused the good news until his eyes were opened. And by revelation, he received the message of the gospel from Jesus directly. Revelation came. Understanding came. And God gave him wisdom. Paul explained the mystery of Jesus Christ in his epistles. Revelation knowledge. Paul explained by deep wisdom the understanding of the similitude and the parables of the Bible. Go read the book of Romans. It's a demonstration. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 4, Colossians. These are deep things of God that Paul received and explained to terms that everybody can understand by the wisdom of God. We need word of knowledge, word of wisdom. These are the gift of the Holy Spirit. And John chapter 32, verse 8, call him, in man there is a spirit, and the Holy Ghost leads us to understanding. That's why Jesus said in the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, if anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the enemy will come and snatch the word and will never bear fruit. I mean, understanding is important. We need wisdom. We need understanding. So the first, second work of the Holy Ghost after revelation is to take us to a place of understanding. Understanding the mind of God, the heart of God, and the will of God. That's why Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 8, 9, let us be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual understanding and wisdom. That's what Daniel had. You can see the word of knowledge is a reality. The word of wisdom is a reality. Now, what other gift comes after? So I'm just going to survey it, but we have time to talk about this one by one later by the grace of God. What is the word of wisdom? What is the word of knowledge? Now let's go further. I continue my reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are talking about the ability of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to enable people, man, to achieve what no flesh cannot do. After word of wisdom, word of knowledge, we talk about faith. Verse 9, faith. What is the faith we are talking about? Everybody say faith, 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 faith. This faith is a gift from heaven, from the Holy Spirit. This is a supernatural faith, supernatural power to believe what is impossible. When our human eyes are open, we see impossibilities. But when the Holy Ghost comes and fills a person with the spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4, 13, that person begins to believe the impossible. This is the faith that triggers miracles. This is the faith when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was threatened to be thrown into the fire. They had this supernatural faith to believe that God can save them through it. This faith is anchored on God's provision and ability, not on man, not our human precision. It's divine faith. It has God behind it, the Holy Ghost behind it, for the fulfillment of this faith. It's a supernatural faith to believe the impossible, to believe what is incredible. This is a type of faith that God expresses in himself, in his ability. When Jesus came on John chapter 11, Lazarus was dead, buried for 4 days, according to the Bible. Jesus said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. He prayed to the Father, faith in God, and expressed the word, Lazarus come forth. And Lazarus came forth. That is miracle. This is the faith that triggers what we call signs and wonders and miracle. It's a faith that comes by inspiration from the Holy Spirit. It's a faith that comes by the gift of God. When you are moved by this faith, you will believe the impossibilities. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you and fills you with the spirit of faith, nothing will stop you. That's why David, prompted by this faith, was able to stand against Goliath. This faith looks beyond the circumstances of life. This is the faith Jesus walked by divine faith in the God to raise him from the dead to work to the cross. This is a divine faith that called Paul in Acts chapter 22 to walk towards Jerusalem, knowing that he would be arrested fearlessly. Peter, before Pentecost, was having the weakness of his faith. He was getting into faith, hearing and believing, looking at Jesus. And when threat came, he collapsed. His faith failed. But Jesus prayed for him. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, Peter was empowered with his faith, divine faith. Fear disappeared. When they arrested him, questioned and threatened him to stop talking about Jesus, he spoke fearlessly. In Acts chapter 4, verse 30 to 31, when the disciples were threatened and they were afraid, they prayed, God, stretch forth your hand and give us boldness to continue to preach about Jesus despite the threat. Holy Ghost came, they were filled with the divine faith. When we are moved by this faith, there is no limit to what we can achieve. You'll be moved by the Spirit of God to act faith, to walk faith, no matter the circumstances of life. That's the faith that led the apostle to be faithful to Christ to the very end. And some of them paid the supreme price to what they believed. This faith is called divine faith. It's a gift from the Holy Ghost. It's not faith from us. It is supernatural. In the Bible, you can see some people, Peter was moved when Jesus said, come to me in the water. That faith came for him. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you and fill you with his power, you can act in this faith. Peter walked on the water. And later he looked at the circumstances and began to sink. This faith is supernatural ability. We call it a divine force that comes from God that has the backing of God behind his faith. It's not a blind faith. It works by revelation. You will hear from the Holy Ghost, you will walk by the Holy Ghost, and you will see the result. When Peter, in Acts chapter 3, saw a man lame from birth, the man never walked. Peter looked at the man by divine faith in Christ's ability. He said to the man, silver and gold I do not have. What I have, I tell you, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And divine forces came, invisible forces came. And the person began to walk. This is not healing, it's a miracle. This divine faith triggers signs and wonders and miracles that happen by divine faith. The raising of the dead is divine faith. A lame who never walked in his life began to walk is not a healing, it's a miracle, it's divine faith. The faith that raised the dead is not a normal faith, it's divine faith that brought him to pass. Only God can do those things, not man cannot do it. When Paul raised the dead, it was by divine faith. This faith is a gift from God. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you are moved by this faith, you will see the glory of God in your life. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost, supernatural ability. That's faith, divine faith. Now, we continue. We have one gift. With a faith and gifts of healings. We can see the gift is plural. And I want to explain something that we saw what Jesus did. Jesus distinguished like different sorts of healing in the Bible. He healed the sick, delivered the captive, did a lot of things. There's a difference between healing and miracle. What is healing? It's restoration. Somebody was sick. Jesus prayed for the person and the person recovered. It's a normal process of recovery. When Peter's in-law was sick with fever, Jesus touched her and the fever left and the person recovered. Okay. But there are some that are no longer healing. It's miracle. The people that have leprosy, Jesus prayed for them and they were cleansed immediately. It's not healing. It's miracle. A person who is dumb, who never spoke from birth, Jesus speak and begin to speak. It's not healing. It's miracle. In John chapter 9, a young boy was born blind. It's not healing. This is a miracle. Jesus spoke and began to see for the first time of his life. That is a miracle. When Peter spoke to the man, silver and gold I do not have. What I have, I give you. My faith in Christ, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. It's not healing. It's a miracle. The person never walked in his life. In Acts chapter 14, verse 9, when Paul looked at that man, the Bible says Paul looked at him, seeing that he has faith. He says, stand up. The person never walked in his life. It was miracle. Miracles, healing, and miracles is deep, deep, deepest. And that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. No man can do that. It is impossible. That's the expression by faith in the name of Jesus that God performed that healing. Not man can do it. No man can do that. It's the work of God. That's why we pray, because it's impossible for us to do. So when we express faith in the name of Jesus, the Lord will send divine face, divine forces by His Spirit to bring that miracle to pass in the people's life. That's what they believe in the Bible. That's what the elders practice. That's why they see them in the book of Acts of Apostles. The question is it true for us now? Or is it only for the past? I continue my reading. To another working of miracles, another prophecy. Talk about prophecy. Another gift. It's prophecy. What is prophecy? When the Bible talks about prophecy, we have biblical prophecy. The prophets of old, Abraham, Noah, Jacob, Isaac. The plan, a hidden plan in the heart of God, was revealed to prophets concerning the salvation who will come in future generation. When God said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the seed of the womb will come, it was a prophecy in generation to come. The Messiah will come to set us free and restore the relationship between God and man. That's the plan of God, the plan of righteousness hidden in the heart of the prophets. Abraham, figuratively, knew the promise of God for a generation to come. The plan of God, the plan of righteousness to come, God revealed to them. But we have gift of prophecy that a person is speaking the word led by the Holy Spirit. It's not man speaking. Was God speaking? And Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, no prophecy came by the will of man, but led by the Holy Spirit, they spoke as they were led by the power of the Holy Spirit. God put His word in their mouth. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2. David said, the Spirit of God spoke through me, His word is in my tongue. We believe that holy men received revelation from God and wrote this Bible and give it to us. There were prophets who received this word, wrote it, and forms the book of the Bible we read today, we believe today. But when we talk about prophecy in the New Testament, we can see Paul explain clearly in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 from verse 25. He said, when somebody comes to the church, the secret of his hearts are revealed. The secret of his hearts are revealed. Means the prophetic ministry of these people is to speak the mind of God in the presence, is to speak the will of God, God's opinion in a certain matter, because they were led by the Holy Spirit to do so. We have the example of Prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 9. God, verse 15, God spoke to Samuel. He said, tomorrow, at this hour, at this time, I will show you a man. I want you to anoint to be the king of Israel. That was the plan and the heart of God. He revealed to Samuel. But the future king never knew about it. Saul, he was looking for donkeys. Looking for donkeys until they came to meet Samuel. The day they caught sight to each other, Saul had come to meet the prophet to tell him, where are my donkeys I'm looking for? They told me whatever you say come to pass. Tell me, where are the donkeys? But God said to the man, this is the man I told you yesterday. Tell him the donkey he was looking has been found for 3 days, but make him my king. And Samuel said, I will tell you the secrets of your heart. That's what prophecy is. The secret of your heart, God knows and can reveal to you. He told him things that nobody else could say. He told him about the past. He said, the donkey you're looking for has been found 3 days ago. How did Samuel know? Holy Ghost revealed to him. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, he told him that your dad, your father who sent you, is worried about you. He was able to tell him at the present situation what's happening in the heart of the father. He's worried about him. That's the secrets of heart he revealed to him. And then he told him, 1 Samuel chapter 10, go read from verse 1 to 6. When you leave me here, you will meet three men that will give you bread. Take it. After you meet this, he tell him everything is going to pass in the times to come. He told him the future and everything came to pass. He was able to know the past, the present, and the future and reveal the secrets of his heart. We can see in the life of Paul, when Paul, in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, when Paul, after receiving the Spirit of God, the elders came and prayed for him and sent him away for the missionary journey. From that moment, you can see Paul begin to walk in the Spirit in a different way. Acts 16, 16, 17, you can see how he was led by the Holy Ghost not to go to India, not to go to Asia, not to go to Bithynia. And revelation came in the night, showing the Macedonian word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And he understood, this is where I should go and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. The same Paul one day find himself in the boat. Go on in Acts 26, 27. That he find himself in the boat and there was a storm. Paul was able to tell him, please, nothing will happen to us. Our boat will land on the island, and everything Paul said come to pass. That's the prediction. It's part of the gift of prophecy he received. When Paul was in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 to 31, inside a prison, jailed, in the dark, while the head of the prison was in other place, when the commander heard that the prisoners has left because he couldn't see them, he thought they have run away, and he took his sword to kill himself inside his room. There was a thought of his mind, let me kill myself. Because at that time, if you have the custody of prisoners and they escape, you pay for the penalty yourself. So he thought they have run away. And he was pulling his sword to terminate his life. And he heard the voice of Paul, don't do that, we are here. He cannot see Paul. How Paul was able to see this man in the dark and know what's going through his heart? That's the gift of prophecy. The secrets of heart was said. The man was shocked. How can this person in the dark see me? I cannot see him. He took light, ran inside the prison, and knelt down because of the prophetic revelation. He convinced, this is God. And that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 25. When somebody comes and the secrets of his heart are revealed, he will kneel down and say, truly, God is here. That is prophetic ministry led by the Holy Ghost. These are the gift of God. The gift are real. We saw them in the life of Paul. We saw them in the life of the prophets of old. That's the gift from God. That's prophetic ministry. And he said, let me continue. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. After we talk about this, he said, verse 10, another prophecy to another discerning of spirit. Discerning of spirit. What does this mean? Spiritual things cannot be intellectually perceived. Our human eyes cannot see the things of the Spirit. But God gives us a heart or a conscience. Our conscience is the instrument God gives us to discern spiritual things. We perceive them. We don't see them. We perceive them through the veil of the body. When your conscience becomes the communication point, contact point of the spirit of revelation, Holy Spirit can reveal to you the hearts, what is in the heart of a person. It can tell you what happened to the spirit. What kind of spirit is in operation? What kind of spirit is doing this? And the motivation of the heart. He can reveal it to you. When Paul was working at 16, a young girl was following him with the spirit of divination. Who told Paul that he was the spirit of divination? Holy Spirit. When Paul walked, he said, spirit of divination, I command you in the name of Jesus, get out of her. What the person was saying was good. She would just say, these are men of God. They tell you the salvation. outwardly, it was nice. It was true. Everybody can say it's prophecy. But he understood that the word behind that person was not from the Spirit of God, it was the spirit of divination. And Paul was able to discern it and command that spirit to go, and the lady was free immediately. In Acts chapter 14, verse 9, there was a man who was lame. The Bible says Paul looked at him and seeing he has faith. How Paul was able to know that the person has faith is discerning. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 5, when he came to the church in Ephesus, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? How was he able to know that these people did not have Holy Spirit? The gift of discerning. When you have the discerning of spirit, you will know which spirit is from God, which is not from God. You will know. Jesus never judged on the outside. He knows the motivation of the hearts. He knows what kind of spirit is before everybody. In John chapter 6, verse 17, Judas Iscariot was like everybody. But Jesus said to them, one of you is a demon. That's what Jesus said. Before even Judas betrayed him, he knew what spirit was there. John chapter 6, verse 17, he said it. John chapter 2, verse 25, he knew what is in man. He knew what type of spirit is operating. Jesus knew. When you have the gift of discerning a spirit, only then true deliverance can happen. You will know what type of spirit is affecting a person. And then there will be no more confusion, because today there's a big confusion. We don't know what is deliverance. We don't know what is healing. Sometimes they're going to cast out a person who is not possessed at all. You talk till you get tired, you stop. It can be a healing. If a person has a mental issue, it's not possession. It's not deliverance. It is healing the person need. So if you have the gift of discernment, you'll be able to look at, you know, identify exactly what type of problem the person has. If you have discernment, they know. If you're led by the Holy Ghost, he will guide you to see the difference between the person who is possessed, between the person who is afflicted, and the person who needs healing. Some situation, there is evil spirit behind it. When you go to the book of Luke chapter 11, verse 14, let me read one guy. Luke chapter 11, verse 14, what Jesus did here. That's the gift of discerning we talked about. Luke chapter 11, verse 14. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was, when the demon has gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitude was marveled. Jesus was able to know that behind the muteness of the person, there was a spirit. Jesus never prayed for healing. He cast the spirit and the person began to walk, began to speak. The same thing happened. When you go to the book of Luke chapter 12, there are many situations. If you have the gift of discernment, you'll be able to know exactly the cause, the root cause of the problem, and know how to attend to it. Whether the person needs healing. Okay, if I'm sick, I go to the doctor. The doctor will do the same. He will check me. He will do a sort of analysis to find out what's the cause of the complaint I'm giving to him. He will use all the means to try to find out what's the cause of the sickness. And sometimes they do scan, they go deep inside, and this is a diagnosis. And then they can apply the right prescription to my problem. Because he's able to have techniques that reveal by scan what is inside of my body, which I cannot see. The same thing in the spirit. The Spirit of God will take you to the root cause of the person's problem to bring a permanent solution to the problem. If the problem is natural, natural solution can solve it. If the problem is spiritual, it takes spiritual problem to solve that problem. There are different types of problems and issues. We need to have discernment to know what is the right cause, what is the problem, to bring the right solution to it. And Jesus, that's the purpose of having Holy Spirit in our lives. When you have the Holy Ghost, you will never speak in vain. You will never walk in darkness. When the Holy Ghost leads you to evangelize, you will not go where you are rejected. He will take you where the hearts are ready to receive you. That's why he stopped Paul in Acts chapter 16, verse 17. Don't go there. They're not ready yet. Go to Macedonia. He went there and they were ready to receive him. When you're led by the Holy Ghost, you will be led by the truth. You will know the truth, and you will act in righteousness, in judgment, walk in the Spirit, led by the Spirit of God. That's why we need the Holy Ghost to guide us in our lives. Paul was led by the Spirit. Any direction he go, was led, moved by the Spirit. He never did anything by power and might. was led by the Holy Ghost. You can see the importance of divine enablement. If God calls a human being for a divine service, God will send the Spirit of God to give you supernatural ability to do that. It's not our work, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why you see this gift of healing we talk about. Now, another gift we finish by this one for today. Let me go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, after the gift of discerning of spirit, sorry, come back to my old Bible. Yes. Another different kinds of tongues and another interpretation of tongues. I know this issue is a controversial issue. We should have talked. There's a message already in YouTube. Go and see it already about tongues. What he's saying here, we have different types of languages and we have interpretation of tongues. We have Paul explain in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. He who speaks in a tongue is speaking to God, not to man. He's speaking mysteries. We call it tongues of angel and tongues of man. If I speak in the tongues of man and angel, there are two types of languages. And the tongues of angel, when you read very well, it is singular. It's a language of God. It's angelic tongues. That one nobody can understand it. It's mysteries from God. That's the one that needs to be interpreted for people to understand it. That's what Paul was saying. In this questionnaire, we say diversity of languages mean human languages. That's what happened in Pentecost. They were speaking French, Arabic, but go and read Acts chapter 2. They say, how can these people speak our languages? We come from this country, from this country, from this country. They were speaking those languages, and I believe that's the gift of interpretation of tongues. Meaning they were talking about the mysteries of God in tongue language of man. Some of them may be speaking in tongues in language, but some of them were speaking language of man. That's the interpretation of the mystery. Because Acts 2:39 said they were speaking the mysteries of God. If God gives you a vision, it takes the Holy Ghost to give you the interpretation of the wisdom of the message. It takes divine wisdom. It takes the Holy Ghost to interpret the meaning to you. If somebody has a gift of speaking angelic tongues, Paul said, you must interpret it for people to be edified. How can he will speak tongues of angel, edify himself? Because you know the meaning. But the others behind you don't know what you're talking about. So in the church, better you keep quiet if you cannot interpret for others to understand. Because to edify people, you must speak words that anybody could understand in human words, human languages. That's why interpretation comes. Holy Ghost can make you to speak in the language. If I'm a Yoruba person, I was in Pentecost, somebody will speak Yoruba to me. That's the interpretation. If somebody speak Japanese, the apostle will speak Japanese. The apostle never knew the languages. The Holy Ghost that gave them expression to speak those languages for people to understand it. That's the interpretation of the law. So you can see the reality of all these gifts are true. Holy Ghost does it. But the Bible says, this must come from the Holy Spirit, not from man. The question is, do they exist today? I believe so. The question we have is the genuineness. Which one is genuine? Which one is not genuine? That's the question. What is true? What is not true? What is from man? What is from God? That's why we need God to help us in this matter. To listen to our conscience, to be able to discern what is true, what is not true. You can see when Nebuchadnezzar called Daniel and called his magician, he knew that I can deceive you by telling things that are not true. He said, for me to know you are telling me the truth, tell me the revelation. Only Daniel were able to have the revelation, to mean it and to interpret and to translate it to them. So what do we understand by this? The Holy Spirit in Isaiah chapter 11 is called the Spirit of Understanding. The Spirit of Might. That's the divine power we talk about. The Spirit of Wisdom. The Spirit of Knowledge and Fear of God. That is it. So the first work of the Holy Ghost in our life is to lead us to revelation, spiritual understanding, wisdom, and these are the gifts that comes from Him. If you are moved by Him, if you are filled with Him, He can apply any of these gifts in your life for Christian services to bless others through you. So today, we just talk about summary of this by the grace of God. next year, Year of Growth, we will talk about this deeply in the household of faith. We talk about deeply for people to understand this. And this gift, I said before, it's up to those who believe. How can someone pursue something, have something he does not pursue? Why did Paul say we should pray to have this gift? That's what he said. Let me read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. That's what Paul said. So if this was only for the past, why Paul will ask us to look for these today? I believe, personally, just my opinion, that what brings the reality is the level of our dedication, seriousness towards God, His relationship. The people of old, their life, their dedication to God was total and absolute. They believed for eternal life. They did not believe for selfish reason. They believed. The scripture says, at the time, they were thirsting and hunger for righteousness, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were serving God with all their lives. They sold their property, dedicated themselves to God, to the Word of God in fullness. And the relationship we have, the depth of that relationship can bring this to happen in our lives. And that's the work of God, not the work of man. Thank you. I want us to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you. You are the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. We pray that you open our heart so we're able to see what God has promised to us. We pray that you give us divine enablement to understand. You open the heart of Solomon. He began to understand spiritual things and wisdom. We believe. We pray. Manifest your strength in our weaknesses. Give us the grace, Lord, as Paul prayed. Fill us with the spirit of revelation, the spirit of understanding. Lead us to wisdom. Lead us to faith. Lead us to understanding as we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you. The Lord bless you and be with you. So please, we need to approach this Bible in a different way. We need to pray. We need to ask for guidance. If we really believe, we need God to help us in our weaknesses. And we need to be humble, to be ready to believe that the Spirit of God is now missed and open our eyes of understanding to understand the mysteries of the Word of God. That's what faith is all about.